Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner.
What you got brewing?
Hike, Eneke, we are going to, I'm going to throw you a long pass,
okay.
And we're going to play a game of football, or maybe we're not, because I want to talk about the NFL boycott. Should you boycott? Why are you boycotting? What's going on? And is the NFL racist? We'll find out.
Oh.
Is it a new form of slavery?
Is it? Okay, well, I am talking about, we're going to take a little... short little jump over to the national anthem, which it goes hand in hand with the protest right now. And I think you might be shocked to discover that the writer of the national anthem might have been, probably was, definitely not around anymore, racist.
Yeah, well, when would you say he was born?
Probably like the late 1700s.
You know what? I would probably not be as surprised as you might think.
Yeah, exactly.
If someone's like, oh, did you know so-and-so was a racist? I'm like, what year were they born? And if it's anything that's like past 1960, I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, probably.
Well, and I can look at this
jam.
It's not even the Super Bowl, and we are getting all up into the football and the anthems.
Mm-hmm. So buckle up, get ready.
Take a knee. I am back in the Estados Unidos. Ah, qué bueno.
Also, coast to coast, you also went to Portland, and then you came back over to New York, and you're just like all over the world.
Yeah, it's been a nutty time. I would say, Wednesday I flew from Amsterdam to Spain. Thursday,
wow.
I flew to London and then New York. And then Friday, early morning, I flew to Portland. I had a shoot for Marvel Thwip. And then I...
Remember to watch it, guys.
It's a really great episode. It's my first on-location episode. I'm not going to give you any spoilers what I was doing in Portland.
You got to watch
exciting,
it. You got to watch
good.
It.
And then I flew on Friday back... Saturday, I flew back here to Nueva York. So it has been... just all over the place, living that high life, living that dream.
I know. You are living that Carmen Sandiego lifestyle. I am into it.
And I have the hat to boot. I wear that big-ass hat. Move over, Jennifer Lopez. This is my role. You know that she was tapped to play that?
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's my role. It's my role, Jenny from the block. Jamesy from the block is here.
Just start petitioning for it now. Just wherever you apply, say future Carmen Sandiego.
That's me, future Carmen Sandiego. Can we talk about Portland for a second?
Sure.
So I was going to Portland, and I'm always kind of a little nervous going to Portland. And some people are like, but why?
Because it's supposed to be such a liberal mecca of beanies and...
Mm-hmm. Hipsters, tattoos.
Hipsters and
birds.
Yeah, disinterest.
Putting birds in it. And yes, so it has like that sort of like neo-liberalism, but that specifically that neo-white liberalism, because here's the thing.
Yes.
I dated someone who lives in Portland, and as you maybe remember, they outcried me during like, what was it? Ferguson. They were like, I don't understand.
Right.
So I had to like console them. Like, what?
Yeah.
And like, when I went to Portland, like people would not like stare at, they would not stare at me because I was gay, but they were staring at me because they're like, "What?" Because like it's such a very, very white town, and it's like,
yeah,
and they don't understand racism, and of course you don't understand racism when there's no one else to be racist against, because I think it was like up until like the 1920s it was illegal for black folks to even own property. That's like 1920s.
Well, I don't know the exact date, but that is definitely the truth about the state of Oregon, that it was created to be a white mecca. I do have some friends that are women of color and very supportive people that do live in Portland. You're talking about the whole consensus of the city. Like, like the general feel of the city.
That's the general. Yeah, I know there's like one or two, like, God bless you and stand strong, because you know what? You're right. We've got to turn around. Hey, my grandmother moved up to Oregon because she was a pioneer and she really loved it. And she was like, I'm going to be here. So it's like, I come from like people that sort of, you know, lineage of folks. But it's like every time I go back, it's like, yeah, you've got these crazy voodoo donuts, which, you know, that's now thinking about that. That's weird. You know, isn't that weird? Is that weird for white people to name their donut shop Voodoo?
Well, I mean, are the owners white? I know who the owners are.
I'm going to, you know what? I've got a 90% chance that I'm right that they are.
I mean, I ask only because, like, what if it was, like, you know, a voodoo priestess who moved from New Orleans, who legit practices voodoo with, instead of the double O, it's the O-U at the end, and... Everybody knows that voodoo, well, not everybody, but
voodoo
is legit.
It is legit.
Basically Catholicism and African religions.
Yeah.
But to name a donut shop after that, if you are not a voodoo high priestess, then...
We're side-eyeing you. You are today's first side-eye. That's what that is. Well, I wanted to plug something about Portland.
Yes.
So, and also they have like a high amount of like white supremacists in KKK, and they've had a lot of rallies as well. Right. So, I was watching Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and they did a little segment about this group called Life After Hate. And they are an organization that are started by former white supremacists who are fighting white supremacy.
Okay.
Because they're like, hey, this is white people's problem. We need to fix this. Which I am like, yes. Yes.
And also, take their word for it. They were
there in the trenches.
They were in the trenches.
Yeah. And I guess, like, you know, a lot of, like, they purposely kind of, like... it was, I guess, like, I'm not... They, like, they go after, like, a lot of youth who are, like, looking for... like community and homes.
Oh, totally.
And so it's like, it's literally just like, you know, it's just a big, you know, giant fucking gang. And he said that they got like $400,000 last year from the Obama administration. But of course, this new administration cut all their funding. So
surprise, surprise again, part two.
They are crowdfunding right now. So if you're looking for something to give some money to, this is a great organization. If you're like, hey, how can I get more involved? Like, this is huge. Let's fight fucking... Yeah. White supremacy, and every bit counts. So I'm going to put a link to this because I thought that was very interesting.
What was the name of it again, just so people remember?
It's called Life After Hate, and they're crowdfunding, and I have a link, and I will put that link in there as well.
Awesome. Thanks, James. That's really good. That's good to know.
Yes. Can we talk about a friend of ours?
Who's our friend?
Well, you might know her as...
Am I going to feel like a dick when I show up to the party and I don't know who she is?
You were like, what's her name? Hey.
And she's like, we've met before.
You might at this point, because sometimes I call her Miss Nasty.
Ooh, Janet. What's going on with Janet? I saw her with her baby.
Oh my God.
Baby looking cute.
Oh, see, I heard all about this from when I was over across seas, because my friend is a diehard Janet Jackson fan, and he gets all the dish and all the dirt. Like, I didn't even know. So apparently, here's what you missed. So to catch up on Janet Jackson, if y'all don't know, Janet Jackson, like years ago, she found that Saudi Arabian prince, like a billionaire guy.
Billionaire.
And they got married, and then she disappeared for like 2 years, kind of. There was like one photo that surfaced of her. And then they got married, and then she had all this money now. And she's like, because she got whitelisted. I think we're using that word now. She got whitelisted. Yeah.
Because of the Super Bowl.
Because of Super Bowl, because of Nipplegate. No one would play her music, her music videos, her record label was being funny with her. Meanwhile,
Which
just screams of, like, you know, racism and sexism, because Justin Timberlake was fine, right? So
right, exactly. And he's the one that ripped the damn thing off of her.
He did it. He said the line, gonna have you naked by the end of the song. He did that.
And then ripped that Velcro.
I mean,
I mean, it was obviously staged.
It was so staged, because I knew that song, that line was coming up next, and then boom. But also just like, I don't know, that's like, I don't know, like men just walking up and tearing off a woman's clothes. And then the woman gets blamed, and the guy just distances himself, and he's fine. So that's already
fucked
up. The
whole thing was fucked up.
So then Janet, she, you know, gets married to this guy, and then she's like, well, now I got all this money. So she had her own record company, essentially. And
she had a lot of money, too.
Oh, no. Yeah, but no. But think about this, though. Like, not to produce and go on tour. We're talking, you need like billions of record label backing. Like,
very true.
Yeah. So like, and so she's able to start her own record label because this guy just has like, you know, shit ton of money, money that like we don't even understand, right?
Yeah.
So then she had the baby, and then she got divorced, right? They had a divorce, and no one really knew what was happening. So Janet is doing her State of the Union tour right now. Like, she is back. She's like, America, I have things to say. Rhythm
Nation. She was just in the Bay Area, too.
Well, damn, Aneka, you missed this, because apparently she performed a song that she never performs. It's her song called What About, which is about domestic abuse.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And she was left, like, crying on stage during the performance.
What? No, Janet!
And apparently Randy Jackson, you remember him, Randy?
Of course. Played the bass in the Jackson 5. Don't ask me how I know that, but anyways, go ahead.
Well, Randy has been giving a lot of interviews saying, like, you know, I couldn't let my sister stay with that man anymore. He was so terrible and so bad
to her.
So, I don't, you know, you can put the pieces together, but this is the information that I'm finding out. And then I have a little bit of more in detail. I can't even tell you how I know the source because I can't get them in trouble.
James, I feel like I'm on Wendy Williams right
now. You are! Oh, God. What does she say? Do you want a cup of coffee or what is her thing?
Yeah, tea. No. I don't even know.
She's like, hot topics. What does she say? What is her...
Yeah.
You know, I had a dream.
I don't really watch her because she kind of is annoying to me. But still, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just see her on the gym and she's on mute, and that's the way I can handle her.
Yeah, exactly.
But since she's like, when she says that catchphrase, she's like, tell me about it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, or talk about it. I don't know.
Let's talk about it. Okay, I know. It's just like Wendy Williams because I was so blown away because I was in Portland. Like, I can't say too much because I can't breadcrumb it. But someone I know is very, has an inside connection to like that, to the Saudi Arabian prince's family. So the
who are you hanging out with?
I cannot reveal.
I know you can't reveal who this is, but I hope they did not ask you for money.
But apparently, so a lot of times, like, these Saudi Arabian princes will come, I guess, over to like more like to the U.S. or go over to like Europe, and then their family is like, hold up, you're not about our traditions anymore. I'm gonna cut you off like this girl that you're dating, she's not one of us, so I'm gonna cut you off, right? So then that's why Janet completely converted over to like full on the Muslim tradition, and she was. And then that's why, like,
the royalty stuff.
Yeah, I guess because like she and like if you watch her last tour, she was covered like head to toe, right? Head to toe.
Interesting.
Nothing popping out. And now she's divorced. Like, you know, she's showing some skin and like being her, you know, fabulous self or whatnot. But yeah, like, I guess like he was gonna get like cut off, and apparently like he's just a big terrible douchebaggy person.
Wow.
Don't come after me, Prince.
And this is all speculation. You got to add
Not speculation. I can say allegedly because.
Okay, there we go. I'm just trying to give you a buffer, James.
Because this is speculation.
I'm giving you a buffer.
So allegedly. Everything is allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. So.
Okay.
Did you know any of this?
No.
Reactions.
I think I might have heard some of the other rumors. The first ones about the abuse, which kind of bums me out because that's really serious and it's scary. And you can see how it affects literally one of the most famous women in the whole world. So I mean, if you're in crisis right now, I'm gonna take the serious route and say, you know, go find your nearest women's shelter, contact a friend, you can do it, you can get out of that. It just sounds crazy,
especially just I mean, I just think of Janet Jackson as one of the most powerful badasses in the world, and I guess what it was like, also, I mean, she's also so human. I mean, the same thing happened, like, with, you know, Beyonce. Not to, like, that degree. But, like, I was listening to her I really loved her Beyonce album. Just that one. That one was really dope.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, but, self-titled.
Like, in it was so interesting because at that time, she was sort of like, ooh, I'm jealous, but ooh, silly me for being so jealous, but you make me crazy and I just want to have a lot of sex, right? There was a lot of that.
She was compensating.
And she was having that. Clearly, she was, like, having some insecurities and stuff like that. And she's, like, it's her career and songs about Jay-Z. It's, like, there's so many of those. And that,
not to mention, Beyonce is, like, such a superstar, hardworking, badass boss woman.
And that, like, it pains me to see that these men with their fuckery doing this shit to these badass, powerful women, human beings. But then at the end of the day, like, they're still human going through some human ass shit.
It is just like that phrase about Elizabeth Warren and still she persisted, which is like the best. I love that phrase so much.
Yeah.
Because that's what you got to do. You got to persist.
You just got to keep at it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good, James. I persisted this weekend.
What'd you do?
Possibly the worst segue ever.
Okay. I'm listening. How'd you persist?
I dusted off my Minaj wig that I got from the local Oakland hair beauty supply store.
Is this the wig that you use for threesomes?
No, I've never had that. Not knocking anybody, but secret, I don't want secrets. Anybody listening thinking if like my great uncle listens to this and goes, "Oh my God, Aneke!" But I would tell my truth if I had that truth. But I dusted it off and I managed to persist through a night of pretending that I was like 23 again. Got bottle service with some friends.
I thought I saw an Instagram photo like that of yours.
It was the wig of magic because not only did we manage to finish 2 bottles of champagne before we even left, we also safe Lyft driving, no driving.
Okay, there
only
you
got
go.
Chauffeured by Toyota Camrys and Nissan Altima.
Is this a commercial? Are we getting paid for this?
I just am saying that's all Lyfts are.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, they really are. Is that like a staple? Like Lyft is like brought to you by? I bet it is.
I know, brought to you by Camry. Mm-hmm. But here's my claim to fame, and this hasn't happened to me for a while. The waiter bought us all a round of drinks.
Oh, I would, for some reason, my mind, I thought you were going to say that he recognized your voice and was like, "Are you Aneke from Minority Corner?"
I doubt it.
I mean, it's happened before.
No.
Yes, it did. It happened at the Bay Area Book Fair.
When it was just me and you.
True.
But I'm just saying everybody needs to get themselves a good wig from the local hair store. Support those businesses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Get you some free drinks.
A quick way. Aneke's tips of getting some free drinks. Get you a Minaj wig, which could be used getting bottle service or having a Minaj a trois.
Sure, if you want to.
Now, when I had mine in Barcelona, I wasn't wearing a wig. I wasn't wearing much of anything at all.
Stop it. You had your own private Folsom Street Fair, which just happened.
And didn't need it. You know what? That's the thing. Like, I'm adulting so much, so hard right now that I'm just like, I am just too busy doing things. I don't have time to put on my harness. I ain't got time. I'm reclaiming my
time. Too much effort to put it on.
And fly all the way to San Francisco, yeah. But it happened, and you know what? This is my first time not going to Folsom Street Fair, and I can't even remember a decade, or I don't know. But
I know. That's why I was like surprised, and I had to mention it to you. Oh, we were hungover the next morning, and we were walking around. Saw a man, 10:30, full latex outfit, and I'm like, how early? Not even like shocked or anything. I'm like, yeah, Folsom Street Fair, obviously.
Obvious.
But what I'm concerned about is the logistics and how early did he have to get up? Mm-hmm. It was 10:30, so he must have been up at like 8, putting on some Vaseline, taking a sip of coffee. Just
Mama Aneke, I love that you like thought, like, you're such a humanitarian because you were like, you were like, go ahead, do your thing. But wait a minute, how early did you have to get up?
I respect his dedication to the cause. I know. I'm like, damn, can you plan my schedule?
It is going
to
be a long day. Hope you got a granola bar because here you go. Aneke, that's what you should do next year. Show up to the Folsom Street Fair and just hand out snacks. Just, you know,
take
Mama
tips.
Barrett.
I'm going to hand out snacks for other tips. I'm like, here, take a granola bar. P.S. How'd you get that leather so distressed?
You're like, what
is your
secret?
Because I want my jacket to look good.
What is your secret? There you go.
Your butt is real shiny and cute in those pants. What can I do to get mine to look like that?
It's a win-win. You know what? Folsom Street Fair, everybody wins. I think that's
true.
I think that's the tagline. Folsom Street Fair.
I like that.
Everybody wins. It's true. Whatever you want.
Best tagline ever.
Everybody wins. Just before we close, or maybe we're not closing, let's just stay here all day, all night. But so I've ridden on a million airplanes. So if you're ever on an airplane and you're like, what movie do I watch? I have 2 yays and 2 you can skip it.
Okay, here we go. What is it? Tell me.
My first 2, so flying across the Atlantic.
You can skip it. That is like the longest. Why not a nay?
I mean, like, you know, you can skip it.
Okay. But I like our movie reviews.
Because there's sometimes there's movies I specifically, because I know I have so many flights that I have, I'm like, I'm not going to watch that in the theaters. I'm going to wait till I'm on an airplane and it's on, you know?
Okay, Jet Setter Jones.
Because I'm like, I'll just wait till I'm on a plane. So I, oh, okay. So you'll agree with this one, I think, because I think you've seen it. So I finally saw Alien I saw Alien Covenant. Ooh, I was stressed out. Alien Covenant.
Oh, you know, I didn't see that one.
Oh, I thought you went to the theaters with Andrew.
No, Andrew went to that without me because I was tired. I was like, I don't want to go to that. But I did make him tell me the whole story word for word. So I can listen to you and totally understand.
It is stressful. I don't know why I chose to watch that movie on a goddamn airplane.
I know. Don't they crash?
Oh, they do all kinds of things.
Don't do
and
that.
At first, so I also kind of also got a side eye Ridley Scott here a little bit because he also did that Exodus movie where he did not cast like really any people of color.
People of color. Just and, like, Russell Crowe screaming at CGI animals.
Yeah, just that. He's like, this is what people want to see. And on the one hand, I was like, ooh, look at all these ladies up in this movie. This is great.
Lady dies first, right? Get used to it.
But like, I will say three out of four of the women, I think, so there's like five women and like three of them die within like the first set
the
of
hell?
Like, or like two of them die within the first little like segment of like people dying. Yeah. So that happened.
Don't like it.
But
okay.
I will say that, like, but there was some other like really great. There was a gay couple. Their storyline has been somewhat whittled down that you'd have to like just go on IMDb and find out that they were gay. Otherwise, you wouldn't know because the studio cut out a lot of that information. But I did think they were looking. I thought they cared a lot about each other, like a lot. You know, dick sucking kind of way.
All right.
I can say it. It's fine. So that one, and it was stressful as fuck. And it had more to do with Prometheus than I thought it would. Because at first I was like, fuck this movie. Naomi Rapace or Rapis or Rupees. Rachel Wood. Rachel.
I don't know. Yeah, Rachel Evans Wood.
I think it's like Naomi Rapace or Rumi Ma.
Yeah. She's Scandinavian.
That lady.
She's on a new movie on Netflix called What About Monday? So look her up.
That one. Yeah. That one. She like was supposed she didn't come back. She was not coming back for this one. It felt like an alien cash grab because they like nixed the Prometheus title. And I love Prometheus. But these two movies complement each other very well. So I definitely say you're in for the ride of your life. It's very good. So watch that on a plane. The second one that I am saying yay to, Rough Night Out. Rough Night Out, I give it a yay.
You liked Rough Night Out.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh, okay. I say next flight that you're on, take a look. It's a lot of fun.
So that's a good airplane movie.
Oh my God, you will not be disappointed. You will be like, oh my God, it'll make your flight because you'll be like, I saw this for free. What?
Okay, good. Unless you're on Virgin where they make you pay for movies.
Oh yeah, then, well, I paid $8 for this. Okay. You know what? It is worth $8. You will not be disappointed. Sometimes you don't know. That's why like I'm just letting the listeners know, like, you know, this one, it's a good one. There's the lesbian characters that are in it. It's just really well done. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Just the ladies are having fun. It's great on all levels. And I recommend it. My ones that I'm like, you can skip it. I watched that Rosario Dawson and what's that one? Katherine Heigl, the Lifetime original movie, but was out in theaters. Unbreakable.
Oh, yeah, where Katherine Heigl is like the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's a no.
I'm going to spoil the ending for you because I don't think you should. I don't want you to waste your time with it. It is so bad. It's so boring. And it ends with when the big fight scene happens. She gets her face scratched and she looks in the mirror and she sees that her face is scratched. And then she goes up to Rosario Dawson, who's holding a knife, and she just hugs her so she can die. And she's like, take care of my daughter. And that's how the movie ends. Yeah, that's how.
Fuck is. Okay, no. I don't even want to put my mind to that because that brings up so many terrible. That's stupid.
Yeah, so. And then.
What's the other one you could skip?
But you can. The Mummy should have just been called Dark Universe. I watched The Mummy. It was. They shoehorned so many, like, other, like, characters from Dark Universe that, like, setting them up. And I'm like. Okay, you guys, this is not even a mummy movie. This is just Tom Cruise just becomes the Sandman or whoever the fuck he's supposed to be. Like, it's just, that's what it is.
Like, that's what I heard, that it's like, they're trying so hard to set up a universe that it's just a boring, terrible movie.
I was like, what happened to the mummy? Can she get some story? Can she, once again, woman gets sidelined for some man?
Can't even be a villain. She can't even be a proper villain.
Someone else had to take that role away for her. She's like, can I be the villain here? Can I do this? Can I destroy some shit? Nope. She's like, hey, it's my
Tom,
name.
Hold up. Hold up. This movie's named after me.
Yeah, that's what she should have said. That's what she should have. I mean, it just was so ridiculous. Because like, you're watching, you're like, why the fuck is Tom Cruise running around in this movie? And at the end, you're like, oh, that's why. This is building up like his own like franchise thing that he's trying to do or something.
I'm yeah. so sick of him.
And then lastly, Baywatch, you can watch it. I wasn't...
Okay.
I was Fluff. On the fence about it. I just felt like it became a buddy cop thing with just the two guys, and it had these other great women in it, and the women kind of... The women kind of get...
Baywatch is an ensemble.
Exactly. And the women kind of, although they're there, it kind of gets sidelined and also sometimes takes itself too seriously, and I think it could have been more fun. So
That sucks. Oh well, that was good, James. That was a big rundown. Well, you've been on planes, trains, and automobiles. Actually just planes, but just
I was on some trains. I was in trains. Okay. And I've been in some automobiles, so you were correct, Miss Thang.
Yes,
you
were correct. I have the sight. Call me Raven 2.0.
I will call you Tempest Bloodstone, but that's because the way that's your hair looks like that. But
okay.
Does that not land?
I don't know. Okay. It works, sure.
Well, let's get into it. I think we've got an all NFL episode for y'all.
We do. Protests, sports, national anthems.
Sports.
Are we going into yours corner?
Yeah, we're going into mine. So I'm going to kick it off. Get ready to take a knee. Hike.
I don't even know. Sports reference.
Well done. 10 points. 10 points to Aneke.
10 points for you Gryffindor. That's what I know.
Oh, nope. And then you just lost it.
It is Quidditch? I can tell you all about Quidditch.
Okay, so I want to talk about the NFL boycott.
Yes.
And what's going on with that. Maybe some of you are on the fence, and I hear you. So let's just have a little conversation about what's going on. And some of you maybe don't give two flying fucks about the NFL boycott. But I say to you, madam, and to you, sir,
yes.
Give a fuck.
Time to give a fuck.
Time to give a fuck on all ends here of whatever side that you take. But let's have a discussion about this.
Wait, James, I got to look at my clock right now. Yeah. I'm looking to see what time it is. And it is time to give a fuck.
Time to give a fuck. That's right. Yeah. Oh, Aneke, I think we must have synchronized our watches before the show because I had the same time.
I think so.
Time to give a fuck. blow the whistle.
Minority Corner is always time to give a fuck.
Oh, that's true.
Time.
You're like, you know what? That's how the listeners know when it's time to listen. They're like, oh, time for me to give a fuck.
Time to give a fuck.
And then they're like, that's done. No, I'm just kidding. So if you don't know what's happening, especially because some of you might be overseas and you're like, what is this? So when I say football, I mean American football, where they put on all the pads and the helmets and things like that. And they get a lot of...
I'm surprised you didn't mention your favorite clothing article that they have to put on, too.
The suspensorios?
What?
That's how you say jockstrap in Spanish.
Yeah, there we go.
Suspensorios!
Yeah.
So they lace up their suspensorios and they run around and chase each other and try to get on top of each other, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, I played football back in high school. I was a defensive left tackle.
I mean, I believe it. I think I've seen your picture.
Yeah, there are pictures. And I'll tell you this. My uniform at the end of every game was the cleanest.
That's James!
Listen, I need another yearbook picture. I was in a period of proving myself, trying to find myself, and there I was.
You know what? You were twisting your narrative, and I love that. Seeing the positive in every corner.
Look how clean my uniform is.
Just a crisp,
we won.
Clean uniform.
Mine's the cleanest. Okay, so what happened was Colin Kaepernick, who played for the San Francisco 49ers last year.
Yes.
He was the NFL quarterback. Well, essentially, he got whiteballed this past year when they were, picking who's going to be on whose team. These are not, right. You love this terminology. Just really,
you know what?
Watering
it
down.
It works.
For us. I want to make.
Who's picking on whose team?
Who did it get on whose team? That's right, y'all. He was last man picked, or not even picked, because he still ain't got no
team. He hasn't been signed.
Has not been signed. So, and you're asking, wait, why? Because you're like, but I heard about this Kaepernick guy. He's pretty dope, and he's like one of the best NFL quarterbacks in the whole entire league. And you'd be right.
Right.
You would be absolutely correct. So
he was great.
He took a knee during...
still is great.
He still is great. So he took a knee during the national anthem last season in protest.
Last season.
A silent protest on a visible main
peaceful
stage.
Peaceful protest.
A silent, peaceful protest on a visible main stage for the treatment and murder of unarmed black and brown bodies in this nation. I think it's very symbolic. I think it makes a lot of sense, right?
And it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
We've talked about it on the podcast.
We did. White folks flipped the fuck out, which I don't understand because they're like, they get, how can we protest? You tell me.
I don't understand the anger behind this protest.
I don't either.
I don't.
So when the season was up, Kaepernick was like, well, I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to get signed by the 49ers, who like, y'all need to go fix your shit because you also moved your team to Santa Clara, so you're not even really the San Francisco 49ers. So.
Right. I don't know why they keep insisting to call them the hello, people who don't live in California. Yeah. Santa Clara is a clean 40 minutes away from San Francisco.
So if you're like, I'm going to go watch the 49ers play in San Francisco, you're not. You're going to be in Santa Clara. You're actually closer to San Jose. So
right next to it.
So enjoy San Jose. Yes. It's not San Francisco.
Yeah. just to give a clue, I live in Oakland, which is very close to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I would say probably about less than 10 miles away.
Yeah.
And my husband works near Santa Clara and in fact has to take a train that takes about an hour to get up here. Oh. So
well, they don't put that in the brochure, do they? So just really broadening your horizons here. I'm just so bothered by it. So
makes no sense.
I'm side-eyeing you 49ers. So he was like, the 49ers aren't gonna sign me anyways. So then he jumped and he like left them and became a free agent and is still without a contract. So that's to catch you all up, right?
Yeah.
And so no other team has like picked him up. And it's like, but why? Like, he's so talented. He's so amazing, you would think. And mainly it's because like one of the things is a lot of the other NFL teams think that he'd be too divisive with all of his, you know, politicking.
Taking a knee
during, you know, the national anthem, like, and it's, you know, it's just, it's, it would be attracting too much attention, you know, because they just want to play the game, you know. So because of this, a lot of folks have called for, they're like, well, NFL, fuck you. Let's boycott you. So not watching the NFL. I'm just not participating in this because it's bullshit that this very talented person, because he was voicing his First Amendment right, is not able to get picked up. Now, something that I've been watching very recently is a debate, like not a debate, but there's been two different of opinions on The Root.
Mm.
You know, we love to read The Root.
I'm about to quote The Root on the next
segment.
So
this is like a trip hat off to The Root. We are practically just Root contributors today, or, you know.
It's so true. Me and Jane, you know what? We are in sync this episode.
We really are, and not in sync.
I know.
Because, you know, they white.
That they're banned and they've disbanded.
And they disbanded. And you and I are together and unified.
Yes.
So we black sync. If this was the 70s, that's what we would name us.
Yeah, I like that. I know, exactly.
You just add black on everything. Well, we are black syncing today. I'm so black and proud that I will put black on all those things.
I'm into it.
It's like putting ranch on all your food. Okay. So one of the writers of The Root, Jason Johnson, he had written about a few.
Oh my God. Stop it.
Maybe we just have an open dialogue about everything.
I know. It's not the same article, but it's literally written by Jason Johnson, too.
Well, shout out to Jason Johnson. Hope you're listening, because we got you.
You better listen
to
this.
You better listen
to
this, Jason Johnson, because
we like you.
We see you. Thanks for your writing your articles. But he had written an article, and he was talking about, like, you know, essentially that, you know, you don't have to boycott. Like, there's other... He was pretty much the other side of, like, why not to boycott? Like, why not boycotting?
Okay.
And so he had, like, four different things. One was boycotting the NFL isn't going to get you what you want. And he talked about how the NFL has often been horrible. It's horrible a lot. Remember, we talked about how the discrepancy from, like, the money that the cheerleaders make compared to the NFL players.
Yes, just terrible.
Terrible. They're making, like, $4, like, nothing. No, like, barely minimum wage.
Go back and listen to your segment on Sportsman.
On Sportsman, yeah, Sportsman. How they handle the domestic abuse of players. And
terribly.
They've turned a blind eye to the concussions that are happening. And essentially...
Which is awful.
Terrible. And again, also keep in mind as we talk about this, and we just re-look this up, because we talked about this in that episode where we talked about sports, but what is it? 68% of the players in the NFL are black. And so it's also like...
Huge.
Not caring within NFL about black lives. through just ignoring the concussions and saying, just go play these sports and bang your heads together, and we're going to make billions of dollars off of you.
I know.
Right? So even that, and then not even going to stand by you and let you have a silent protest because you're still a fucking human being, right?
Like, what is wrong with the silence? I don't understand why people are getting offended by the silence. If we are supposed to sit back and let loud, scary, racist hate mongers march through the streets with tiki torches, we can't let a sports player who's making you billions of dollars kneel and take a 5-second protest.
I don't understand
during a song.
I don't understand how in this situation there's not fine people on both sides as well. Why is Kaepernick and everybody who's kneeling being so fucking vilified? Well, I know why. Because racism. Because, you know,
exactly,
these people, they hate black people. So it all comes down to that. Like,
it's such the truth. James, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because at this point, it's not surprising about Trump. Yep. I'm not surprised by him. I am surprised by people who, at this point in time in history, when it's been so clear, so vocal, so awful, so terrible, his reactions to everything are still like, let him do his job.
Yeah.
He's just doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's, come on. Wake up. Wake up.
He's still playing the game. Like, he's still playing the game. He's just saying, you know what? For me, this anthem, it's not standing for everything I need it to be. He's literally just asking America to do better. And he's saying, what he's saying. He's like, do better. And then I'll stand up because this will really fucking mean something. And instead of like, to me, it's just like, even if you don't fully understand it, like, isn't that just like, that's interesting. I would like to learn more. Yeah. Like, what's that about?
Exactly. He is not calling the end of America. He's not calling that we all go out and like burn and destroy flags and renounce being American. He's just saying, hey, something's wrong. Take a look at it. If you were to go to the refrigerator and you open up and pull out some old Thai food that I got from 3 weeks ago, and I go, hey, James, I'm protesting that you eat that right now. You wouldn't be like, fuck you. Yeah. I'm going to eat this shit anyways. I'm not listening to what you have to say. You have to be like, oh, thanks. I think I'll look into it. And then you won't eat it. And then you won't have mud butt. Like, hello. That is all that's happening.
He's trying to help America avoid mud butt. I mean, come on.
That's it. That is
just trying to help America wipe its ass. So, his other points that Jason Johnson said, I'm trying to be balanced here, because I'm trying to list the other side of why not to boycott.
Okay.
But every time, we're not doing a good job because you and I are just going right.
Yeah, that's true. I know. So
You kind of already understand.
I mean, this article is kind of written tongue in cheek, right?
No.
Oh.
Not this one. And this is interesting. This was made from a few weeks ago. So, it might, his opinions might have changed, so maybe your article his was legit, because his second point was everyone can draw a line, because what he's saying is, first one is, boycotting is not going to get you what you want, because the NFL's been fucked up, it is fucked up, it's been fucked up for a long time. So he's saying, this isn't going to get you what you want, you're kind of, and then he says, everybody can draw a line in the sand for him, this is not his, and this was maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I think
this was written on the 14th, mid-September, before Trump said his little bullshitty thing. And then he wrote, hate the player, not the game, and then he talked about, Floyd Mayweather, everybody was so excited about that fight, and he's a millionaire woman beating ex-convict, and he beat
he's terrible.
Conor McGregor, who's a horrible racist, and,
They're both terrible.
They both made off with like millions of dollars, and we all, so it's like all these industries are kind of fucked up. So, but this, and okay, I see that point. And then he said, football is family time. And that was his fourth point. So for me, I gotta say, and maybe his opinions have changed, for me, this article felt a little flat.
Interesting.
Football is family time. Yeah, this is a great opportunity to have a discussion as a family and say, we're not watching football this year. We're going to do something else or watch. Is the WNBA happening? Gabrielle Union had
Hello. Let's watch
Gabrielle
that.
Gabrielle Union had a very good commercial about why she supports the WNBA. And it almost, I'm going to a WNBA game this year. I am going to support those ladies. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Because, I just want to bring up some fun facts about the NFL, because I think that people don't understand the greater, larger complexities of the NFL, okay? Let's talk about, Trump has a lot of friends that are in the NFL, right? So also thinking about this whole entire white-balling situation for Colin Kaepernick. And as many as 8 owners voted for Trump not only voted for Trump, but they also contributed at least like $1 million each to him, right? So
rich people.
The Washington, so the head of the Washington football team, Dan Snyder, donated $1 million. Dallas Cowboys, New York Jets, the Houston Houston Texans, the Houston Texans, is that their team? That seems silly.
I don't know.
You're in Texas. The Los Angeles Rams owner donated $250,000. And $1 million came from the Jacksonville Jaguars owner, Shahid Khan, who is Pakistani by birth, who later came out and spoke out against the Muslim ban. And so to me, it's like seeing this, like no surprise that Colin Kaepernick is without a job, because it's these, like you were saying, these rich billionaire type people.
Totally. Old boys club.
Yes, that is exactly what this is. And the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell, he was sort of condemning what was happening, but without like, he never, anytime people are talking about this, they never really mention, they just say, oh, you know, they bring up the flag, which has nothing to do with the flag, but they bring up like the anthem and stuff, and they're really missing the point. And they never mention the unarmed black and brown men who, that's what this is all about. They never mention that.
Exactly. Nope.
Yeah.
Never. It's because they don't, they want to turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah. And Roger Goodell had some sort of bullshit statement where he didn't mention that. And he didn't even mention Trump's latest like outburst that he had that I want to get to in a moment. And it was talking about, you know, the NFL being this place of creating community, AKA what I read that as, you mean money. It's a place that's just creating fucking money. And he says that, you know, the NFL is really about coming together over things like natural disasters. But I'm like, dude, this is an unnatural disaster that's happening in this fucking country, right? Like,
And we're not even doing that, because look at Puerto Rico right now. We're not helping Puerto Rico, and that's a part of America.
Right. No, I know. I'm absolutely.
Yeah, national disaster. Yeah.
Well, and then I had the funny, did you hear my clever quip? This is an unnatural disaster.
Yeah, I did. I like that. Okay. Yes, I like that. That was good.
So then I want to switch to the other side. It's, we got Stephen Crockett, who Jr., and he has been on it. And he, there's this one article that I will link. Feel free to give a listen. He has, if you're black and watching football this Sunday, here are 25 things I already know about you. And he, did you read that one? Okay. Oh God.
No, but I saw it. I saw the
He's like, I'll link it. He's like, you're wearing driving gloves.
Stop it.
He like, at first is like, ooh, this is very, like me saying this. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, this is controversial. But I think it was like in anger, but also in tongue in cheek. But then he read this other article that like, this is like a few weeks later. Because those other two articles were like in tandem. And then he has this one that he's like done. Because after what Trump recently said, he's pretty much like, black men still watching the NFL are running out of excuses. And he pretty much breaks it down. Over the weekend, Trump was at a rally and he pretty much said, called these Americans, his constituents, he called them sons of bitches.
Yeah, I know, everybody.
At a rally, right? So it's our commander-in-chief, who's supposed to be this role model to youth, and I'm also just like, where the fuck is the Republican Party, right? I thought they were the party of values. Like, what the fuck happened, right?
I know, it's exactly. That's, I don't understand why nobody's wrangling him in.
No, like, if Obama had said sons of bitches, he would be impeached. It would have been done.
He'd be dead.
He would have been shot and killed. How dare you?
Yeah.
My poor, you know, John can't hear this, right?
Did you know, oh, this is real quick aside, which is kind of funny. Colin Kaepernick's mom.
Oh, yeah.
She sent him a text immediately right after, and she was like, Trump just called me a bitch.
Yeah, she's like, guess I'm a proud son of a bitch or something, right? Or like,
she's a bitch, because that's her son.
She's like, guess I'm a proud bitch, yeah.
Which I thought, you know what? Yes, mom, you stick with it. And what most people don't understand is that Colin Kaepernick is interracial. So his mom is white. So the fact that she's supporting, and that, like, it's kind of even more poignant, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. That you don't have to be on color lines to side with whichever way the debate falls.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, we're talking about the First Amendment here. And basically, you know, Trump cares more about these players not standing during the anthem than KKK, than white nationalists, than David Duke. He said so many of these tweets. And it's like, you know, I it's not that I didn't know how racist he was. It's just, it's all just really coming. I 10 years ago wouldn't have never guessed he was this fucking racist, right? And it's just all coming out.
Right now.
This other part of this, what Trump said, you know, he says, But you know it's really hurting the game more than that when people like yourselves turn on television and you see those people, look at this dog whistling.
No.
Those people taking the knee when they're playing our national great anthem. The only thing you could do better is to see it.
Wow.
Even if the players leave the stadium. Yeah.
Wow. Those people. Yeah.
And so it's like,
and then our anthem.
Right.
Oh, we'll get into that soon. Oh my god.
Yes. And so
put a pin in that.
And so basically I really kind of have to side with Stephen Crockett on this one. And he pretty much says you either are on the hashtag NFL boycott bus that allows black men to stand up or kneel rather for what they believe in, or you aren't. It's just that simple. I mean, when Trump pretty much put this out there, he's like literally drawing a line in the sand.
It's true.
This other thing that Stephen says that I thought was really fascinating, and he pretty much said, you know, he talks about how NFL, essentially the NFL, he agrees to equates the NFL as high paid slavery, right? And he says Colin Kaepernick is a slave who ran free from the plantation, and with his whiteballing is a public lashing where the other slaves are being shown exactly what happens when you decide to break free.
So terrible. So terrible. I'm so glad that so many people are now taking a knee in silent protest along with him.
Yeah, there is a myriad of folks. Malcolm Jenkins, Eric Reed, Rodney McLeod, Robert Quinn. So many players are standing up, which I think is really great.
And across sports lines, too. There's a A's player, I forget his name, he knelt. Also, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is NASCAR. He's been outspoken on Twitter about it.
What?
He definitely said something on Twitter that was like, I'm paraphrasing right now, but it was people have the right to protest. This is crazy.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. And Mark Tomlin, I don't know if you heard this, on Sunday, the Pittsburgh Steelers coach, he's like the black, I think he might be, I don't know, he's the black coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been there for like 11 years. He's had all kinds of flack and racism happening to him in Pittsburgh. They say all kinds of stuff. Never, if you read the comments of after any of the games, and you'll just see the terrible things where they call him, his team is undisciplined or that ghetto. So essentially what happened on Sunday, the Pittsburgh Steelers never went out to the field for the national anthem. They weren't on the field. They stay in the locker room.
Wow. But that's dope.
And he gave us his statement was pretty much that they're not taking a side essentially by not going onto the field I do, because I think it's clever. I think it's word jujitsu.
Okay.
So he's saying, So he's saying, for players who do want to stand and who don't want to stand, he's just not making it public of what their choices are. You know, to not put that out there on display. So in a way, though, by them not being on the field is a huge statement in and of itself.
Yeah, that's a protest. Yeah.
And before we close, I just want to take a peek over to what the NBA is doing and why its response has been so different. Because the NBA hasn't been like, you better stand. They haven't. They've been supporting their players who have been involved with these social protests. Like, I think teams have worn Black Lives Matter shirts. Like, they've...
The I Can't Breathe shirts wore during warm-up.
Absolutely, yeah. And the NBA stood by it. And The Root pretty much noted, it's because of my own natural energy yield. Money.
What?
Remember my... And its top earners are black men who just don't play with that shit. Like, you just can't... Like, the basketball teams are so small. If you fuck with one of your top earners, like, your team is done, right? So...
Exactly. It's the truth.
Money speaks. And props to Golden State Warriors. That's you.
That's me. That's my team.
Props to the Golden State Warriors. And because Stephen Curry mentioned that he didn't want to go as the national champions to the Golden State Warriors, who are set to go to the White House.
And then giant baby.
And then I can't imagine that is
such a giant baby response.
Like, so he said he didn't know that he wanted to go. And then Trump was like, well, invitation rescinded. And they hadn't even voted yet. He just said that he didn't want to go and that he was going to vote against it.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know if I'm going to go or not. Like, it wasn't...
It wasn't a done deal. And he was like, invitation rescinded. Like, you just said it. President baby. And LeBron James had a slam dunk response. See what I did there?
What did he say?
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. I get just full
I
of
was writing all
one.
These puns being just like, Aneka's going to like this one. She's going to be excited about this one.
When did you think I liked... Okay,
I thought you liked puns.
I don't like puns, but I like you.
Oh, so, okay. Well, remember that for next time. You just like it when I talk about dick or something, or like, I don't know. What do you,
no,
do you like dick jokes?
I don't.
What do you like in that case? I'll give it to you. Just tell me what you need.
What did LeBron say?
He said, you bum, at Stephen Curry 30, already said he ain't going, so therefore ain't no invite. Going to the White House was a great honor until you showed up. So,
oh, shit.
I just had to, after what Trump has done, and because at first I was like, can see both sides. But like at this point, to me, it's such an easy protest to participate on. I think if this is about the anthem, like folks are missing the point. That's like saying that the Montgomery bus boycotts were about because Rosa Parks didn't like buses, or
people are missing the point, definitely,
or that Stonewall was about like people who hated certain kind of glasses, or
I hate bars,
or the great boycott was about people not liking certain kind of grapes. Like, you're missing the point, right?
The thing that I was just gonna barely touch on is, I think this is a good opportunity to have a conversation. If you're a part of a football family and people are insisting on watching, and maybe you're thinking about taking boycott, this is a really good time to bring it up. This is a good time to talk about these issues. This is a good time to really dive into it. This is a good time if you go over, if you are boycotting, let's say, when does football play? Thanksgiving or whatever.
Yep, it's going to be on Thanksgiving. That's going to be a tough one, yeah.
Maybe take a knee in your living room.
Did you say take a knee or take a knee?
Yeah. Take a knee in your living room.
I mean,
this is like a time to really, if we have our president saying dumbass things, it's time for you to get the confidence to now start speaking up against your family too.
I agree. Because that's how we got into this mess, because so many people didn't want to have these awkward conversations. And we've said this before in this podcast, that growth comes from being in uncomfortable situations. Obviously, you want to keep yourself safe, but I believe that your family is going to be a safe space for you to take a knee or to have a conversation or to abstain, like go to a different, and that'll speak volumes. Not watching the football game, if that's a big thing for your family, will speak volumes.
This is literally such an easy gateway drug into talking about the bigger issues in our country right now.
Yeah, like hats fucking off to Colin Kaepernick, because this is one of the things that they will be talking about in the history books. There will be documentaries about this. And I just think, when I was watching the Dolores Huerta documentary about people who still bought grapes during the I couldn't imagine. I would be so mad at myself if I did not participate during the great boycott, because it was on the right side of history. And if, you know, my kid was like, oh, did you? And I'm like, oh, I bought grapes. Like, that sucks. Like, oh, I watched football during this huge monumental thing.
Hella grapes. I was living it up. It was just great time for me.
I was the one still keeping them afloat, right? No, like,
yeah, no, you don't want to be that person.
I'm gonna push, because I think this is so easy, because I think some still have not gotten involved this year with lacing up their boots and resisting. And this is easy. This isn't asking you to go outside. This is like, don't watch the gay football game. Like, in your life, and you're going to survive, and you're going to be a part of a movement, because money speaks. That's what we learned from all of this, is that money speaks. Imagine if there is a huge drop in ratings this year for the Super Bowl, how many businesses lose out on money? This is going to be a game fucking changer.
Yeah. And no, I completely agree. The only reason I'm being difficult is because it's just so easy for me to do it, you know.
But you've given up. Like, are you gonna watch the Cosby Show anytime soon?
Well, it's kind of hard to find.
Wait, because if it was still on Hulu, like, but I like
I would but I get what you're saying though. Like, for example, Chick-fil-A. Everybody talks about Chick-fil-A being the most delicious chicken sandwich ever in the world. You need to eat them Chick-fil-A. But I know that they're homophobic as fuck, so I'm not gonna go to Chick-fil-A.
There you go.
So it would be the same thing with football.
Easy fucking boycott. I gave up Lost because what's his face turns out to be like a woman beater, and I just need to take some time from that. I had to give up that one Chris Brown song that I really liked.
I don't like Chris Brown, but that's the truth.
He had one song, and now I can't listen to it because, you know, he's terrible, you know. So I encourage y'all to, if it is challenging
try
and hard,
it out. Do it,
try it out. And like Aneke said, it's a great conversation starter. and just hot goes off to Colin Kaepernick, because you have really started something and led a fire. And I think that we need to honor this American and his freedom of speech.
Agreed.
Is being violated. He is being persecuted for just doing his American right. And this is not okay, because if this is going to happen here, it can go, it's a tipping point, right? If they start taking away our freedom of speech, we become Russia, you know? So like, we gotta fight back.
I got to point out something that you did that I hope people will take notice of, that I thought was really beautiful. Colin Kaepernick is American. Like, don't listen to the news trying to other us. Mm. He is American, and I'm so glad that you said it that way, because that we need to protect this American who's just using his rights as an American.
That's right. Absolutely. So, take a knee, folks.
And now let's go find out the racist history of that song that's playing. Ooh, while you're taking a knee.
While you're taking a knee? What's that song? What is that I
Ooh,
hear?
Who is racist too? Ooh, shit.
Okay, just surround it. Can't even take a knee without drowning in racism.
Right? I need to play that for whenever somebody asks me how to say my name, because I'm getting tired. I'm kidding.
Aneke is
tired. I'm tired of explaining this mess. I've been explaining it for years now.
I love it. You could just, they like, Anke, and you just look at them and you just hit play on your phone.
I know. It was even to
I was trying. Yeah.
I got a massage this weekend. Massage is supposed to relax you, right?
Yeah.
Tell me why I got to pronounce my name over and over again. So the masseuse can properly say my name right. That's not relaxing.
But why does he need to... Stressful. And then your mind is into like, damn, this, you know. I mean, what's the word for that? Like, the inability to understand or pronounce non-white, like, white sounding names. Is that white supremacy?
It's a form of it.
It is, right. So now you're supposed to be relaxed and getting away from the troubles of the world, and here it comes in, rearing its white supremacist head in. You can't even get your massage on.
Yeah, but I don't want to call my masseuse a white supremacist, though.
Yeah,
I know. It's a slippery slope.
Well, but at the same time, like, I think we cannot be afraid of that word, because it's sort of, because we're all surrounded by white supremacy. You're just all choking on it like a gang of dicks. They got dicks on the brain.
Oh my god, that is so
much. Just trying to make sure we earn our explicit rating.
Okay, you know what? I think we have.
All right, Aneke, since I cheered your name on, and when's the last time someone cheered your name?
Never.
Oh, not even in bed?
No. I would be like, stop it. I don't want that.
That would be weird.
That's a lot of pressure. Like,
and it's like, okay, better be good.
I know.
But see, think about that. Sports stars have to like not choke under pressure all the time.
Okay, I am moving.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
You did your whole segment on taking a knee.
Taking
protesting,
a knee. Take
and
it.
We have a certain anthem. It's called the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, I was thinking, and I.
That's Whitney Houston.
Oh, but she sang that
That's
song.
That's the Bodyguard.
Once.
I know. She sang the Star. Okay, so basically, So I really wanted to dive in about how all the tiny little minutiae that's out there. I probably said that word wrong, but still.
No, you said it correctly.
Okay, thank you.
Or just say, oh, you know what you can get away with it? The black nusha, and then it's
no,
whatever
I can't. So people are saying, okay, how can you disrespect the flag? How can you disrespect the anthem? Well, I'm not going to talk about the flag right now, but I'm going to talk about the anthem, and that it has racist-ass roots that we need to go into right now. So it's... So just to prove the point that literally everything that is around and involving America and American history has a basis usually in some sort of type of racism, which is terrible, but we need to acknowledge it so we don't get into the space of where we're at right now and not truly understanding the meanings and where the root comes from of all of these feelings and discrimination and white supremacy and all of that stuff that we've been talking about on this podcast for so long. Mm-hmm. And literally, the only reason that I'm bringing this up, too, because we are a country where the most frequent that we hear this anthem is at sports games.
That's when I don't, you know what?
I don't go to work and have to sing the national anthem or like.
I kind of wish you did.
No.
I'm going to write a letter to your boss requesting this.
That would be a weird school. No, thank you.
And I work from home. Could you imagine if every day, that's terrifying. If like every day you had to, that's like too much worship.
No, that's ridiculous. Okay. If you are foggy on what the anthem is, it is definitely, it's not America the Beautiful. It is Star Spangled Banner, and you hear it at every sports game.
It's not Stars and Stripes Forever.
No, it's not.
My country, it's not My Country Tis of Thee.
No. Why do we have so many? Okay, anyways, so.
That's what, we know, we'll put a pin in that for next week. Why we got so many songs?
Exactly. Okay, so, did you know that this became our anthem in 1931?
I did not. That is, you know, not that far away.
Right. The song was written in 1815 by Francis Scott Key, which I'll get into in a minute. Okay. But so this song is like everybody's belting it out. Most notably, like you said, Whitney Houston. Most likely black people. People love hearing some black people sing this song.
They love it. They're like, get a black voice on that. Get that. We got Aretha. Where Patty at?
So let's go into the author of the initial poem. So I read this article in The Root by Jason Johnson. So controversial figure already. But his article is talking about how this anthem is racist. So he's straddling the line himself.
You know, he just, you know what? This is 2 weeks ago, too, before Trump, he said his thing. You know what? He just wanted to watch a football game. And he just was like, listen, y'all, this boycott ain't going to do nothing. But
now he's like, this anthem is racist. And I've figured some stuff out. So, okay, but in combination, and you'll see it in the show notes, I put his article down, but I also grabbed from a couple of other articles, as a true researcher should.
Look
so
at
this
you.
This isn't purely based on his stuff.
As Neke said to me off the air, aren't you glad y'all are friends with a librarian?
It's so true. Okay. So, Francis Scott Key, he was a rich aristocrat from Maryland. And in fact, he was so rich and so aristocratic that he not only owned, but also came from families that owned slaves.
Ah, surprise. Okay.
Okay, so like right off the bat, he's like, boom, I have had some slaves. Okay?
I mean, like, I feel like if you were in that time period and you were white and we know about you, you probably had slaves because it takes money.
Yeah, because you were rich.
And that, how else are people going to hear your name unless you're rich and you can, like, you know, pay people to talk about you?
And if you didn't have slaves, it was notable. So, and people know that about you.
Yeah.
So, if we know you're rich, but there's nothing in the history book stating that you didn't have slaves, you probably had some slaves.
You had slaves. Yeah. I mean, how'd you get that money? Slaves.
Right. So he is a lot of people will argue back with you against Francis Scott Key because he did some things that people would be like, but do you like black people? So apparently he freed his slaves. That's just hearsay, but okay, whatever. He still had them. They still worked for him. He still grew up with them, you know? He also defended a lot of black people when he was a young prosecutor. So much so that he also did like some taught some black people how to read. So much that people were like, he's the black people's lawyer. And so that's okay. People say that. Great. But he really, in fact, and was quoted in saying that he thought that black people were inferior.
Well, there you go. That's white supremacy.
Yeah. And here's a quote from him.
Oh, God.
A distinct and inferior race of people, which all experience proves to be the greatest evil that affects a community. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he was nice to some people. Like, just because he wasn't lynching and murdering every black person, I'm not supposed to just give him a pass. Like, he was
exactly
a white, that's an example of white supremacy, and we need to be careful of
example of just racism. But
but we need to be careful of who we give these passes to, because like sometimes it's like, oh well, seventh though is nice, but they're like,
yeah. Okay, so going back to it. So he treated, so basically he thought that if you were a slave, then you deserve to be treated nicely because he was a Christian. So he was basically like, I'm a Christian, I'm a humanitarian, so I take care of the poor, inferior race of black people. But free black people, he highly supported them going back to Africa. So wow. He was of the mind that was like, okay, as long as they're here, they need to be building up my country. They need to be building up my wealth. They need to be doing everything for me. But once they're free, they can't benefit from that. They need to get the fuck out of my country, which is fucked up.
Yeah, I'd say so. I would say mm-hmm. that's a lot of fucked up.
Okay, here's another part of fucked up. Oh. He just loved himself some Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson was his best friend. I'm like already done with him. Can we be done with him? Anybody who's like, ooh, you know what I love? Andrew Jackson. I'm like, get out of my face.
Him
Go
and
fuck
Andrew
yourself.
Jackson were just like BFFs all day long, living and laughing in some racism together.
And just being up in their slaves.
Just up in their slaves, just killing people. So he was a lieutenant, a loyal lieutenant to Andrew Jackson during the War of 1812. And as a thank you, after that, President Jackson gave him the office of the district attorney. So he became a very high-powered man, which is why his poem became our national anthem.
I love this guy. This guy, you know what? He was a man of many hats, Aneke. He was
terrible. All the terrible
owning,
hats.
Owning slaves, defending some black people, being
kicking
racist.
Kicking him back to Africa.
Kicking him back to Africa. Just fighting in the War of 1812, being best friends with Andrew Jackson, and writing poetry. Where does he find the time? How does he do it?
Slaves, probably, doing all the work that he doesn't have to
you
do.
You know what? I bet a slave wrote that poem, too, and he was give me that poem.
No, I'm sure the slave didn't, because I'm going to get into it. So here's an interesting twist. So we're getting up to the point of the poem. So, like I said, he was a lieutenant in the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. And in August, so August 24th, 1815... And I know it's the War of 1812, but it went past that 1812 date.
Yeah, they should rename
longer.
That. It's
they need
so
to.
Confusing.
It's very confusing. So he was a lieutenant in the Battle of Bladensburg, which was, you know, a war battle or whatever.
Yeah,
so
a big war battle.
he was fighting for, you know, President Slave Master Jackson, who I like mm-hmm. to call him. Mm-hmm. So he ran into the colonial Marines who overtook his troop, which he had to flee and go back to Georgetown. So they won. The colonial Marines won this battle. So who are the colonial Marines?
It's the British and the Canadians.
Yes. No. The colonial Marines were a battalion of runaway slaves who joined the British Royal Army in exchange for their freedom.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I wish some of these wars, this is controversial, I wish we had lost the American Revolution, and I wish the War of 1812 would have gone in a different direction.
Great. Because now you're going to get us arrested for like... Heresy.
I have been saying this because
no,
we would still be part
of now.
We would still be we would be Canada. We would literally be Canada right now.
Okay, so
we'd still have a queen.
Basically, Francis Scott Key was outsmarted by and lost this battle to a bunch of black people, which literally disproved his theory of black people being inferior. Right.
But what? Because he lost to black people, so that means that black people
Yeah, that's what
were...
I mean. That's disproving his theory.
I see. Yeah.
If they could beat him in a battle and outsmart him, they're clearly not inferior to him.
Yeah.
Because
they don't even have as much training probably as he did. We're just that dope.
No. So he was pretty burnt on this, so put a pin in that, and I'll get back to it. Okay.
Burnt pin. Done.
Yes, in the battle against the Colonial Marines. Or the, is that what they're
The Colonial
called?
Marines.
Yeah, the Colonial Marines. So one of the myths about Francis Scott Key that everybody talks about is that he wrote the Star Spangled Banner when he was held captive. No, not true. He was actually just hanging out on a British boat. And he was trying to get his friend William Beans freedom. That William Beans was actually captured. So he was on the boat being like, hey, can you release William, my friend? And so while he was like negotiating this to free his friend, he watched the Battle of Fort McHenry in Baltimore. So the Battle of Fort McHenry in Baltimore was super bloody, but he was watching it from the safety of a boat. He wasn't in the middle of it. He was just sitting there watching it. And that is what inspired him to write this poem.
So so everyone's getting involved in this really, really bloody war, and he's like watching from afar being like, I'm gonna write some poetry.
Yes.
Okay, just making sure I'm getting this correct.
Yeah. So you can see why they probably changed and created that myth. And he was captive in the war. No, it is literally the history of America where some rich dude is observing regular ass people dying and then writing about it. And then getting all the fame and fortune.
And then through allegedly changing it up and be like, oh yeah, I was there locked away and I saw it through my jail window.
I know. Okay, so here's the thing. There is a third stanza that nobody talks about. So here's the third stanza.
Yes.
And it's going to be hard to, I'll break it down, but it's going to be hard to understand. But so, yet, okay. And where is that band who so vauntily swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in truth doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, Johnson, I want to just quote what he said about breaking that down.
Mm.
He said, in other words, Key was saying that the blood of the former slaves and the hirelings on the battlefield will wash away the pollution of the British invaders. With Key still bitter that some black soldiers got the best of him a few weeks earlier, the Star Spangled Banner is much a patriotic song as it is a diss track to black people who had the audacity to fight for their freedom.
So basically, he's a Taylor Swift. He is just a basic ass Taylor Swift of his time.
He's literally pissed off that black people took him over a fight, even though they were fighting for their freedom. They literally were like, I'm going to go to the British because we're going to get our freedom. We're not slaves anymore. Mm-hmm. They outsmarted him, disproving his theory that he thought black people were inferior. And then by doing that, he's calling them un-American. And who are you talking about when you're talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave? He is not brave, and he does not support all people who deserve to be free. So this anthem that we're singing at the top of our lungs, that we're told that we need to be standing up to, that we need to not be disrespectful, is in itself completely disrespecting, disregarding a whole population of people who are still us, black people, getting disrespected and disregarded currently today.
What? You just made me realize something else. I'm never standing for that goddamn song ever again. I don't care if Britney Spears is
she's
lips,
like, everybody stand.
I don't care if Britney Spears is lip syncing it. I am not. I will not stand. I will not stand.
I'm sorry, Britney. I'm lip syncing.
And that would not be an easy decision for me to make, but.
I know. A hard protest. That's a hard protest.
And I would do it. I would do it right in front of her face, and I would just be like, sorry, girl. Mm-hmm. I just can't. And she's lip syncing away.
No, stop it.
She's not going to sing it live.
I like how you managed to squeeze in a nice little healthy insult to Britney Spears in the middle.
Listen, I am part of the Britney army, but I gotta keep it real. As I am marching along, I see you. Because she'd be dancing. She would be dancing during it, so she can't, do all the things.
It's true. It's true. So basically, it might be a little bit of a stretch to try and imagine the lyrics of what I was going through and what Jason Johnson was talking about on The Root. But at least we know for fact and for truth that Francis Scott Key was a racist, held terrible beliefs, and owned slaves, and was friends with terrible President Andrew Jackson. And he wrote our national anthem, which became our national anthem in 1931 during the height and reign of the KKK. So we need to just open a book and pay attention to what's going on in this country. It's been going on forever.
You know what? It is so hard to be black in America.
Yes.
This country, it sucks. You can't turn a corner without running into something that is riddled from white supremacy history or racism, something or other. It is just oozing from all over the place. And I just say, black folks, again, you are magical. We are magical ass creatures as we continue to
persist. God damn it.
And we're so fucking forgiving, and we'll play their stupid games and and they don't give a, they just, and they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck yeah. about us. And they literally just see us as like walking dollar signs. And they just want to try to make as much money as they can off us or steal all of our shit and all of our ideas and things like that. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, you can't turn a corner either without running into white supremacy or some form of modern day slavery.
Right. I hear you. I hear you right loud and clear. So everybody persist. Everybody open a book, read your history, read your facts, understand everything, understand the root of things, understand that it isn't just about a flag, isn't just about an anthem. Well, it's about everything that
well,
is.
Yeah. I'm glad that you spoke about the anthem specifically because everyone keeps talking about, like, they're not protesting anything about a flag. So I wish everyone, like, would stop mentioning shit about, like, the flag, you know, because it's about the anthem and what that stands for. You know, like, it's not like they're pooping on a flag. Like, that'd
and
be
also,
different.
And also, who cares?
True.
A flag is a symbol.
Yes, you are right. Like, yeah. like all of these things don't define what it means to whatever this country really means. And also, at the end of the day, like, American, Japanese, Ethiopian, whatever, like, that's not you. Like, you're not just
you're a person.
That. You're a fucking human being that lives in one space. Right. And I think, you know, as we're awakening and just realizing and remembering there's just one human race and all of these things that we hold on and cling on to so much, it's time to let some of this shit go.
So true.
Because it's really holding us back.
Amen to that.
Well, I'm going to take a knee and put on some earplugs next time I'm at a football game.
Oh, okay. That was like earplugs.
I don't want to hear this shit.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Adam.
And we host The Greatest Generation. And we're here to announce a new show.
The Greatest Discovery is Maximum Fun's new podcast about the new Star Trek series, Star Trek Discovery.
We're going to be recapping every single episode. It's going to be a limited run podcast, and we hope you'll join us. It's a show that we're really excited to watch, and we're really excited to talk about it and provide our signature f***ing fart joke coverage of a new entry in the Star Trek franchise.
So if you like irreverence, adult humor, irreverence again, and Star Trek, we really hope you'll join us on Tuesdays on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcast to The Greatest Discovery.
Oh, they made us edit dick out of the last promo that we submitted, so
you should keep that part in the promo.
Another great episode for the books.
Ooh, I love it when you toot our horn. Beep beep.
Toot 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 toot.
Ah, beep beep ka 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 toot toot. Ah, beep beep ka 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 ka. Name that tune. First person to message it in will get a high five.
Wow, that's low stakes on that one.
listen, we've got so many contests going on. I got to be careful how many treaty treats I'm handing
speaking
out.
Speaking of contests,
we've got,
where are
we at? We got one. We got one.
Yes.
So our 100th episode is a stone's throw away. And Anika, we better get ready. What am I going to wear?
I know. This is episode 98.
We are TikToking away. It's two more
TikTok
episodes.
TikTok, don't stop. And that came fast. Shit. Oh, my God.
I remember. I was like, oh, we've got time. Da, da, da. But we were,
I know.
We,
and then
we are getting ready for an episode extravaganza for you all. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to, in honor of our 100th episode, we're trying to get to 100 reviews or 100
yes.
ratings. And we are at 77. We're almost there.
Ooh.
But
okay.
77.
We're picking it up.
77.
Picking it up.
She ain't 100, y'all. So
I know.
If we get
you
to.
You got 2 weeks, y'all.
Y'all better call, tell your mama, tell your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Tell
you better tell everybody who could comprehend.
Ooh, yes. You know what? In honor of Janet Jackson, I'm glad that you gave that little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We,
and I do.
We wouldn't even have this podcast if it wasn't for her.
It's true. She supports us a lot.
Our first episodes was just lyrics. Us talking about Janet Jackson. It should have just been a Janet Jackson podcast. So, you know.
I know.
Well, we are going to be doing a raffle of one of the... we're going to do a raffle of everybody who wrote a review, and we'll draw a name, and you're going to win a Minority Corner prize pack bonanza.
But that's if we reach 100 reviews by our 100th episode.
Because if we did it, thank you guys for the reviews and ratings. Thanks for participating.
Still, thank you. Oh my God, we love you guys for leaving a review anyways.
Yes, absolutely. And these reviews have been so good. In fact, I want to reread the review of the week.
Yes.
This one is from Musical Heartbeat. Oh, that's a cute little name.
That's cute.
And music start with a Z. I love that. I love it. Some words can work with the Z, not all. But musical like that, that really works.
Yeah.
Like, if I was like James with a Z, what would you say? Oh, really?
It's too 90s. Is Z at the end?
You know what? I did do that for a bit. 1993 takes me back. I was like, I'm James with a Z. Everything 90s. Was about the Z back in the 90s.
They loved, it.
Why did we love a Z back then?
Because, you know, boys in the hood. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Everybody loved a Z.
So, Musical Heartbeats wrote, Spreading the Wokeness, 5 stars. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Sorry for insulting your name, but we really do like it.
We were celebrating it. We didn't insult it. We celebrated. Thanks to Minority Corner, I'm able to stay current on important issues that apply to me as a Black woman, mothering 3 kiddos of color.
Ooh,
I'm learning all kinds of great things to share with others to spread the wokeness all over. This is a must listen for anyone as we work to navigate through the ups and downs with the current events in the world today. Thanks for all your hard work and building a community for people to come together and get woke TF up. I think she wrote,
yes,
fuck. Well, I wasn't going to say it because she, you know, abbreviated it, but you know, just jump right in there.
Well, it's our explicit warning.
That's true. It is there. Oh, and also she has the power fist up icon.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a good emoji. Good emoji. Well, guess what I have, James?
What you got cooking over there?
I got a tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. Oh, I love a tweet of the week.
Okay, this is from @JoyfulCarlo.
Ooh, hi, Joyful.
She writes, or I'm not gendering. They write @MinorityCorner, just found your podcast and want to say thanks for making podcast land less straight and less white. Well, you're welcome.
That's what, you know, we are here to do. That's what we will bring to you all day and every day for you.
And thank you for tweeting at us. That's really nice too.
Yeah, thanks y'all for you can continue getting involved in the conversation at Minority Corner with a K at Twitters.
Yes, both James and I are on the handle working it out. See which you can decide who's tweeting what.
Yeah, I wonder. Do you guys know? Do you know who's writing what or saying what?
Can you tell?
Yeah, let us know. Well. Be like, yeah, I know what you. Oh, Aneke, this is the bombshell. No, what's the word?
When there's bombshell.
Yeah, that word.
Okay, what is it? Tell me.
So, when I was in Portland, I was doing something with a Marvel live show. Long story long, if you're going to be at Comic-Con, folks, guess who else is going to be at Comic-Con?
You?
That's right, Aneke. How'd you know?
What?
Look at you. That's
lucky.
A raven. Okay, here's the thing. I'm not only going to be at Comic-Con, I am hosting my own show.
Oh, shit, James. This is so exciting.
Yeah, there's going to be stunts. There is fight choreography.
What?
There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Just hold on to your butts.
This is so exciting. Congratulations, James.
Thank you. Yeah.
Do you get a plus one?
I don't. And it's going to be long days. Like, I'm literally there four days.
Keep myself busy.
9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Very, very, very long days.
Wow.
But if you're going to be at Comic-Con, make sure to stop by and say hi to me. Check out my show that I will be doing. And there'll be some great surprises. And you can see me do there might be some stunts. I'm just excited.
Wow.
I had to learn fight choreography.
Wow. So cool. Little James coming up in the world. That's amazing. So keep
exciting.
An eye out for James. Look at Thwip. It's on YouTube.
Yes.
You can join Minority Corner Playground on Facebook.
Yeah, you can do that. You better do it.
You can like us on Facebook as well, Minority Corner.
Well, it's been a great episode.
It's been amazing.
It's so great
Love
to be
guys.
Back in the same country as you, Aneke.
Yes, I felt it when you made landfall.
Oh.
James is back.
What happens when I land into the same city as you?
I don't know. I mean, you call me.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was like you were going to like a shockwave of rainbows like emanated from
your
armpits.
Ooh, I love
that.
That sounds amazing. I'm into that.
When
are you coming back? Sure. They could use a little rainbow.
I would love it because you just lift your arms up. You're like, James is back, everybody. Your armpits are literally Care Bear staring.
That's the noise they make. Is that
rainbows aren't cute. Rainbows don't make cute sounds. They look cute, but the sound they make is not so cute.
I was gonna say rainbows are hella cute.
Oh yeah, they're hella cute, but the sound they make, like, you can't have it all. Can't have it all, rainbow.
All right.
You've already got. Yeah. And wouldn't it be the worst?
Keep those rainbows humble.
Keep it humble. You can't have all the gifts. But I feel so sad for that Care Bear who had to, like, do his or her out of the armpit. Their power came out of the armpit.
No. They always came out of the stomach.
No, but, like, if one of them was like, you know, mine comes out of my armpit.
Like, he had stank power.
Listen, everyone's got a gift. You know, everyone's got a gift.
And with that, that's our episode.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Griffin McElroy.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
And we've got a new podcast on Maximum Fun called Wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's an enthusiast podcast where we talk about things that we're excited about and things that you're excited about.
Things like overalls.
24-hour Sudafed.
The grand prize game.
The fact that wombats use their butts to kill predators.
The soundtrack to the movie Dick Tracy.
The beach potion we call Bud Light Lime.
All these things and more every Wednesday, and we'll also talk about things that you're excited about.
You can find us on MaximumFun.org or iTunes or wherever. I don't know, just search Wonderful. Google it, you'll probably get there.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.